Triple J.
Who do we got headlining on that main stage?
I'll tell you who.
Tom and Alex.
All right, this next guest is a freaking legend.
Yeah, if you've ever stood up from a chair, chances are he's been responsible for it.
He's been responsible for this. He's been responsible for this. He's the greatest dancer. Which went on to be sampled in...
Bring it.
That. He's also done this. Oh, he's done this too. Like a virgin. He's done this one. And now he's done this. She's up all night to the sun.
I'm up all night to get some. Yes, it's a long list of charges.
There's shitloads more than that too, but we don't have time.
Yeah, the charge sheet is long. How do you plead Nile Rodgers?
Good morning.
Hey, I'm guilty as charged.
Guilty as charged. Guilty of being a funky mother flipper. Oh, my God. Thanks so much for being on the show, man. We've got you coming out at the end of the year back to Australia. We've also got a best of CD, Greatest Hits from the Chic organisation, Up All Night. And, of course, people still loving the latest Daft Punk record, which you played a crucial role in. Congratulations on being Nile Rodgers, first and foremost.
Thank you.
And we're going through the reminiscing there, but it's not over. You're currently in a studio. Whereabouts are you now?
Yeah, I'm actually in my recording studio in Westport, Connecticut. And I'm just finishing up, actually finishing up two songs tonight. One with Avicii and another one with Chasen Status, which are both amazing.
Wow.
Now, have they written tunes and they've brought you in? Are you working collaboratively with them?
No. We work together from the ground up. That's usually the way I work. Like Get Lucky is an interesting example. So they had, Daft Punk had a song that they were working on, or a number of songs they were working on. And then once I got in and started working with them, they reworked them after I did it. So it was almost as if we had, you know, worked on it from the ground up. But typically what I do is I walk in with nothing but ideas or no ideas, and the ideas happen to come when I get into the studio.
You strut, Nile. You don't walk into a studio. You strut into that goddamn studio and you lay down some beats. Is it true you knew the Daft Punk guys, the robots, the French robots, for 16 years? You guys met ages ago, and only you've now got around to putting music out together.
Yeah. 17 years ago. And oh, actually, so it would be 16 because we did Get Lucky a year ago. It just came out recently, but we did it a year ago.
Yeah.
But we met when they put out their first album.
Wow.
Which had a hell of a lot of Chic samples on it, by the way.
Thanks for
sort of take you out for dinner and say thank you for
half
that one.
Half those records you played in the intro are on their first album.
You said in one of the collaborator videos with Daft Punk that the great magic for making music comes out when you improve each other, the good artists coming together, you improve upon each other's stuff. What do Chasen Status and Avicii have that you are bringing out in them and they brought out in you?
Oh, I'm telling you, these relationships have been extraordinary. At this point in my life, you would think that I would have learned everything that there is to learn about music, but it's just not true. The fact of the matter is that we all have our own personal, unique style when it comes to composing. And I feel so at home composing with Avicii. It's ridiculous. It is so crazy. It's almost like we've been working together, since I was 15 years old. It's that comfortable.
Well, how does that work? He was born in 1989, Tom Bergling there. You'd already sold millions of records by then, Nile. How does that work?
But think about this. I mean, like one of the records you played was I'm Coming Out, I think, by Diana Ross. When I wrote that record, I was only 24, 25 years old.
Oh, screw
and
you.
Diana Ross had already sold millions.
Yeah, wow. That is honestly hands down one of the best pop songs ever. There is nothing that makes me feel as happy as that tune. So thank you for that. Thank you for your work. Well, we're going to play Lose Yourself to Dance, the latest single we're getting from Random Access Memories. We want to come back to a bit more reminiscing. I want to go right back to the start of Nile Rodgers' story. Hang about. A legend on the line on Triple J. Dance to this. Come on, lose yourself. Lose
yourself. That's Lose Yourself to Dance by Daft Punk, featuring the guitar talents of Nile Rodgers, who joins us on the line at the moment. Hello again, Nile.
I'm great.
Hello, sir. We are keeping him from important work. He's actually in the studio at the moment working on some stuff. Coming out to Australia at the end of the year for Meredith Festival and a bunch of dates around the country. And also the Chic organisation have this Greatest Hits Up All Night. Can we go right back to the start, Nile? when you were a teenager and you were touring with the Sesame Street Band. Is that right?
Can you believe that? Yeah, that was my first real important job. Yeah, no, the thing that was cool about that is that I was getting a paycheck every single week. And that's when I fought, when I bought my first pair of high platform snakeskin shoes. Changed my life, man. It was great.
That's the secret. The secret's out of the bag.
There you go.
Yeah, high heel.
All of a sudden, I could date girls that were like 6 feet tall and stuff like that. It was amazing.
Right. Well, let's go to that. It's very interesting looking at a few of the things that got you into music and a few of the songs, such as it was a girl that you liked. You wanted to pick up the guitar and play it for her and be great at it. You went with a girlfriend. You heard Donna Summer for the first time. Another girl took you to Roxy Music, who was a big inspiration on Nile Rodgers. Do you think you have girls to thank for a lot of Nile Rodgers, and therefore we do for the great music you've brought out?
Absolutely. And it's interesting that for a huge portion of my career, most of the songs that I had written were for female artists. You know, it was, I mean, think about it. The very first big star I ever worked for was Diana Ross. That's the first big star I composed for. You know, prior to that, it was Sister Sledge, obviously, and the Girls in Chic, and Norma Jean, our first singer with Chic. That's been a sort of big motivator. Obviously, Madonna, you know, Carly Simon. I mean, I guess it's only 50-50. It's either a girl or a guy.
It's all for the ladies. And, of course, famously working with Beavis and Butthead as well. So, yeah, you're very diverse.
Actually, that's true. Yeah, that's right. I worked for Beavis and Butthead.
How were they to work with?
They were amazing. That's actually one of my favorite records.
Really?
Oh, wow. We'll have to drag some out and play it too, Under the Weather on Triple J this morning. Another big one, David Bowie. I was watching a David Bowie documentary in which you popped up, Niall, and you told an amazing story where you walked in and saw David Bowie sitting alone on a couch, and you were with Billy Idol, and Billy wasn't feeling the best. Can you recount that story for us?
Yeah, Billy and I, we walked into a spot called the Continental, and as soon as he walked in, he went, "Bloody yeah, that's David effing Bowie." And when he said Bowie, he actually barfed. But what was cool about it is that Billy didn't drop a step. He just wiped his mouth with his left hand and reached out to David and went, "Hello, mate." I was like, "Hey, man." I said, "I guess that's sort of cool in England, but
not around here."
What was going on?
And then this kicked in, and everyone started dancing. Oh, that'd be amazing. On Triple J, Nile Rodgers joining us on the line. Nile, how do you know that you've written a hit? How do you know when that's happened?
It's something that you sort of feel in your soul. It's like the music I'm working on tonight. It's just, I got into a zone and I could just feel great. Now, I don't know if it's a hit, like a big, big hit, like Get Lucky. And I even said it to the guys, well, this is the Chase and Status record. I said, you know, it's not that I know that it's absolutely a hit, but I do know in my heart that it's good. It makes me feel good. And it sounds like it's going to make people feel good. I don't know any other way of explaining it.
Do you dance? Like, you're listening back to the sessions of the day, and to know that it's whether or not it's a hit, do you start moving yourself?
I don't need to do that. I don't have to express myself physically to know that or to hope that others will. But you definitely can feel the groove in the room. I mean, you can, you know, the song wants to make you move.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, well, I saw one of the top comments on the YouTube video for Get Lucky at the moment, Nile, is, "I've never seen a guitarist look so happy. You seem to be just enjoying yourself more than ever."
Oh, yeah. When we were shooting those videos, I was thrilled because whenever I'm doing a video, I always insist upon playing live. As a matter of fact, when we did that shoot, one of the girls in the room that were watching us screamed out, "What kind of music is that?" And I went, "Disco." And they all went, "Yeah!
Yeah!" Disco ain't dead, man. It lives. All right, well, I want to find out about other stuff you've got planned with the Daft Punk Boys and the music you're working on at the moment, as you mentioned, Avicii. Here's a bit of his work. This is Silhouettes. We'll be back to say goodbye to the legendary Nile Rodgers in just a tick on Triple J.
On Triple J, that is Avicii and Silhouettes. Tom and Alex are with you this morning, hanging out with Nile Rodgers. Who is Nile Rodgers, you might ask? Well, if you've ever heard a big hit, chances are he's done this to it.
He's basically worked on it.
I don't know what the hell he did to it. He, like, dipped it in the funk jar. He trimmed back the fat. He made it all neat. And then he added this really spicy sauce to it.
Oh.
That's from Nile Rodgers' The Hitmaker documentary, which is you can see on the internet.
So that's a member of Duran Duran, I think, talking about working with you. How do you feel about that description of your work, Nile?
Yeah, he was sort of right about that. He was specifically talking about the Reflex for Duran Duran. That was the first song I ever did with him. I've done a lot of work with Duran. And what's interesting is that the Reflex was from the album Seven and the Ragged Tiger, which had already fallen off the charts. And when I redid the Reflex, it wound up becoming the biggest single in Duran's history.
Huge.
And obviously, they've had some big records.
Well, yeah, and the funk jar's there for all to see.
And the spicy sauce as well.
Delicious. Can you?
And fat to be trimmed back, yes.
Indeed.
Such an incredible career, but can you pinpoint a moment to you that really stands out when you think about, like, highlights or a moment that felt surreal or really blew your mind, either recording in the studio or live on stage? What comes to mind?
Probably the David Bowie Let's Dance album, because I had, up until Diana Ross, every single record that I put out was a hit. And in America, we had this crazy movement called Disco Sucks that basically derailed my band Chic. We never had a hit after 1979, after Good Times.
I remember Homer Simpson has a suitcase with a sticker, Disco Sucks, on it. So I was thinking, Disco Sucks, I don't know.
But prior to that, every one of our singles was either gold or platinum or multiple platinum. So all of a sudden, after that, we do Diana Ross, and that's our last hit record. Our group disbands, and then I do David Bowie, Let's Dance. And what was interesting about that, he had no record deal, and I was about to come to the end of mine. So it was just the two of us against the world, and we go in and we make a record by ourselves, and we come out with Let's Dance and China Girl and Modern Love and all that stuff. A very similar situation to Daft Punk. They had no record label, no record deal. We go into the studio and it's just us against the world, and we come up with, you know, random excess memories.
It's amazing. And the Bowie experience comes with one of my favorite quotes of all time. I think it's fair to say, Niall, when you played with the reverb and everything, the riff to Let's Dance, and David Bowie sat there, listened to it, and then took it all in, and you said, oh, sorry, did I make this too funky? And he said, is there such a thing?
One of my favorite things of all time. And it was almost like, it's like, no, if we ever reached that plateau, it would be like Nirvana. We would just disappear and go into the cosmos.
You know.
It was like, yo, David, man, I'm sorry. Did I make this too fucking much? Nah, darling, is there such a thing?
There isn't. We've never reached peak funk. Nile Rodgers is in Australia in December, playing all over the place with Chic. Barrington tops on Thursday, the 5th of December, the 6th at Riverwood Downs Subsonic Music Festival. Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Perth, and the Meredith Music Festival all receive that incredible talent live on stage.
We heard you had a really great time in Australia last time you came out with Chic.
It was unbelievable. For years, we've been trying to work in Australia. Someone told me that I had, I don't remember the number, so I'm just going to make up a number, but somebody said that I had at least 7 or 8 number one records in Australia. But meanwhile, no promoter would book us.
Oh, what?
Nobody. Every single time we would try and get, you know, booked down there, they would take, and I don't mean any disrespect, but they would take like Casey and the Sunshine Band, and we would go, now we like Casey and the Sunshine Band. But come on, man.
CNC Music Factory, come on.
But I said, but give us a shot. So we went there last year, and even one of the promoters canceled one of our shows. And I kept thinking to myself, they don't understand the philosophy of Chic, that most of our audience, they treat our shows like they're going to a nightclub. So even though we usually sell out, it always happens at the last minute. There's some huge walk-up, like they're going to like Studio 54 or something. So we tried to convince the people, please just trust us. We actually have a fan base. I don't know why they hide out until the end, but they're going to show up.
They'll come.
But we went to Australia, and the gigs were amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Play the disco, people will come. Thank you so much for your time now, Rodgers. We could talk to you, I reckon, for hours and hours and hours. An incredible dude with an incredible career. We'll let you get back to making new music with Avicii and Chase the Status. That's really important. And we'll see you at the end of the year.
Yeah, feel free to drop by Triple J when you're in town, Niall. Thanks again for chatting to us, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Cool. Thanks a lot, guys. Triple J.